the only reason I say 5 to 10% is because you do have to run a business. You do have to put food on the table and things like that. And I know that 5 to 10, I also have a mentor too, in John Ruin. So he actually says 5 to 15%. I do 5 to 10. And I think the best question as a mentor, he always asks, is what's the most you can do for somebody as opposed to what's the least? A lot of people are always like, what's the least I can do? And then, and you always say that to people, oh, it's the least I can do. It's like, great. Like, I don't want the least you can do. You know, if I was in an, if somebody was interviewing to work for me and they said, oh, what's the least I can do? I'm like, I don't want the least you can do.
The least I can do. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 61 of Business Therapy, a show about exploring the intersection of mindfulness and business. Every week we sit down with business professionals from all walks of life to discuss how business success can always be balanced with a conscious and grounded perspective. This week on the show, we're happy to invite Steve Buzzagani. Did I say that right, Steve?
Buzzagani.
Buzzagani. Thank you. I always want to make sure I'm not throwing the wrong name out there. Steve is coming to us with a great concept around appreciation and gift giving and connecting and making authentic connection with people as it serves business. So we welcome you to the show, and we'd love to get started with you telling us a little bit more about yourself and what you'd like to share with us today.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I guess for today, we could talk about all kinds of things, but I would think the cool things that I would bring up would be how most, a lot of small businesses are unintentionally poisoning their best relationships. That would be what I would, we could talk about that. We could start there, and then based on whatever questions you guys have, we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love to hear more about it. And it's such an interesting topic right off the bat. So why don't you tell us about poisoning relationships and go straight into it?
Okay, sure. Let's talk about how to ruin relationships. So basically what I would say is what happens in business, whenever you give a gift to somebody, like you always say thank you to somebody, like you would like to say thank you to somebody, but the problem is it takes a lot of time. So, I mean, that's how I got started. But outside of that, whenever you have a really, I guess, a high-end client or a client that whatever they're worth to you, you don't want to give them, if they're worth like $10,000, $5,000, $100,000 a year, and you give them, you know, hey, thanks for your business this year. Here's a $25 gift card to Amazon. And people are going to be like, you know, that's kind of a slap in the face, and that's not going to be received well. Now, the problem with gifting is that the good gifts and the bad gifts get the same feedback. So what's going to happen is no one's ever going to say like, you know what? That gift really stinks. You can take this home and shove it up your, you know what? Like, so you're, what's going to happen is you're going to, you get the good gifts and the bad gifts get the same feedback. So I would start with, budgeting like 5 to 10% of your income to give back to those people that actually are worth, you know, the bigger ticket items. You know, focus on those, you know, A and A plus clients first, and then reach your way back out to B's and C's if you have time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a framework or an etiquette that you recommend? Is it 5 to 10% of whatever their revenue they're generating?
Net income. For net income, for sure. So, like, if they're worth $100,000, then you should be spending like $5,000 to $10,000 on that client for the entire over the course of a year. Like, you don't have to do it like in one gift, but like that's over the course of a year. Because then when you spend that money, those clients tend to duplicate. The reason I tell you to spend on your A plus clients is because those are the ones you want to duplicate. Those are the people who are buying the hardest into you, the people who have invested, you know, more interest in you than anybody else, and the people you don't have to work as hard to close or pitch. You don't have to pitch them at all. They already bought into you. So it's an easy, the referrals they come with too are going to be the same way. So you don't have to work to close them either.
So I already have a million questions on this, but before we even dive in, I would love to hear a little bit more about, tell us a little bit more about your business or where your perspective is coming from, because I feel like it would help orient me and John, but also our audience.
Sure. So I come from the real estate industry, but my thing is like, I'm more of the introvert. So like, I'm not Mr. Conversation Starter. I'm more of the, let's put it this way. It irks me to my bone and destroys my soul to make cold calls. Like I could never just get on the phone and call someone and just be like, so, hey, how are you doing? And then like my best friend can do that so well. He'll call somebody out of the blue and they'll be like, oh, hey, Luke, how are you? Like, oh yeah, it's great to talk to you. And it's like this fantastic conversation. But like, for me, I call someone like, what's up, Steve? You need something? I'm like, no, just check in, say hi. And they're all like, hi. Okay. Hi. So like, it's so weird. And I'm like, it's not my thing. So whenever I wanted, and then the worst part of it makes you feel even worse and slimy is like, so do you know anyone buying a house? Like, so when I was doing real estate, that was the thing. It was like, do you know anyone buying a house? I was like, you feel like sleazy doing that. So my thing was, how can I break the ice entirely and make those calls easier? Because I do have to, in sales, you have to, it's contact support. You got to make contact. You can't not talk to people. So what I would do is I'd send a gift ahead of time. And then I'd follow up the gift when I know it gets delivered. I'll follow up like a day or two later just to and say like, hey, just so you know, like I really appreciate you in my life. And I wanted to let you know that and let you know that. So I sent you a gift and I just wanted to make sure you got it. And then because it was a high quality gift and it wasn't sent in the month of December where everybody else was sending gifts, basically people were like, oh my God, like the shock and awe factor was super high. So they were like, oh my God, this is so great. I love this. This is amazing. Thank you for sending this, Steve. Like, how's things? And then eventually, if they know you're in small, if they know you're a small business owner, they're going to eventually ask, how's business? Or me specifically being in past in real estate, they go, how's the market? You know, and then eventually then it becomes a more organic conversation that you can have and you can start talking about it. Now you're not a sleazy salesman. It's like, oh, it's great. You know, how are you? And then they're like, oh, it's cool. We're just, you know, like you, Sam, we're about to have a kid. Oh, are you really? So where are you moving to? Because you need more space or whatever it is, the situation. So, and then it would eventually organically work itself into a conversation. And then it's a totally normal thing versus like, when am I going to hit him with this pitch? You know what I mean? It's instead of something like that.
What's an example of gifts like, you know, from an intro?
So you could do a variety of different things. For me, like I usually spend, like I said, I spend the most of your time focusing on your A's and A plus clients. So these are people who already knew me, liked me, and trust me. I could have called any one of them and they would know who I am. Like, I'm not calling out of, but the thing is, even your A's and A pluses, you don't want to like call them out of the blue for no reason just to ask for a referral. So those are the people like I would send gifts to. So like, for example, I sent them once. I did a Cutco knives, or no, not knives. I did scissors. I did Cutco scissors with their names engraved on them. So they were pretty cool. With their names, not mine, because if it's my name, it's a promotion. If it's their name, it's a gift. So that's a big distinction there. And then I did like, you know, like pill speakers, like, you know, like actually, Sam, you might know those, like the speakers you bring camping all the time and or you bring them to the beach that play music, whatever, those fun things. I had those custom made with their favorite colors with their names engraved on them. And I sent those and that was and then I followed up with those calls. And then couple other things. I can't remember what else did I do. Oh, I had one couple who was about to have a kid and he was into shoes, obsessed with shoes. And she was a runner. So I got them both a custom Nike stitched pair of baby shoes. And I gave that to them ahead of time. Like, hey, just want to get, you guys know, did you guys get the baby shoes? And they're like, oh my God, these are the most amazing thing ever. Like, we can't wait to put these on the kid when he gets here.
So something relating to something you know about them or something about to happen in their lives or otherwise, definitely not something that is clearly a marketing type.
No, it has to be. That's the thing. So we have like six criteria for what makes a good gift. And if you guys want, I can go through those. But like basically it's got one of them is being personal and it has to be unique to them. Like if it's not, if you can go on Amazon and buy it, then it's probably not personal. It's actually definitely not personal. Like, because then anybody could just do that. So then it's like, okay, cool. But I mean, like the worst thing you could do is get gift cards. Like gift cards or e-gift cards are like the worst thing you can do because nothing screams lazy. I don't have enough time to actually put the time in to give you a gift than a gift card.
And here's an assignment. Go shop.
Yeah, right. There's that too. Then it's just like, I mean, fortunately in today's world, it doesn't take as much effort because everybody shops online, but like still, it's still like, okay. Like for example, like in the real estate world, the way teams work is there's a team leader and then every agent that works under the team leader sells houses. And then the team leader gets a portion of everything that the rest of the team sells. So that team leader might get, I don't know, several hundred thousand dollars in income from the team as a whole. And I mean, I've seen team leaders give $25 gift cards to all of the agents on the team. And I'm like, $29 gift card. He's like, they just put $40,000. That one agent alone put 40 grand in your pocket this year. And yeah. It's like, you want to give them a $29 gift card. It's like, it's such a slap in the face. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, that's why you don't want to do gift cards because the feedback you're going to get is, oh my God, thank you this so much. You didn't have to. And then, you know, they're going to turn around and re-gift it, forget about it, whatever.
Yeah. So So this makes total sense. And let's now fast forward to where we started about the 5 to 10% of, let's say, net revenue for a particular client, or you're even now talking about employees, or just basically what are people worth to you or your business? And before we really dig into the mechanics of gift giving, I want to hear the punchline of, if I'm going to say 5 to 10%, which seems like a big figure, maybe to some of, you know, some people who hadn't been thinking about that, what's the return, or why, what's the rationale? I want to start there. And then I want to get into my gift mechanics part.
Sure. Yeah. So the returns, I mean, they can be huge. It depends on how much, like in what industry. So like, you know, in real estate, the ROI was pretty big because, you know, obviously one client could be, you might give them $100 gift or a $200 gift or whatever, but the ROI would be like, you know, they might buy a $500,000 house. That's a $10,000 commission. So it's like, you don't, like, for example, I think in 2020 or 2021, what I did, my campaign, my gifting campaign was, I budgeted $12,000, basically $1,000 a month, which is not insane for a small business. It's not a crazy high number. I ended up at 10.5, which, so I was stayed under budget. The revenue that came in from that gifting campaign was 166,000. So 10.5 to 166, that's like a 16x ish, like 16 and a half X, which, so that's the kind of, I mean, that to me is a money machine.
Yes.
So like, I mean, if you tell me I'm if you ask me for $10,500 every year and you're going to give me back 166, I'll give you 20,000. Keep going.
Well, and why not? So it's right, in a exactly. way, giving is the more you give, the more you get, at a very kind of trite level. So why only the 5-10%? How have you landed on that? I guess, why not give the 20? Why not give the 30? Is there an end to that return coming in?
Before questioning it, though, I'll mention that he already measures. So that's just for the audience, like,
measuring
is
a great
thing. Yeah. He's measuring what's happening as a result of the gift giving. And
yes, you know, yeah, so, I have a whole thing.
I'm saying now, as a result of the measurements, how are you tinkering with your, you know, with what you're learning from the data? But
yeah, so
step alone is worth calling out.
So five, because the only reason I say 5 to 10% is because you do have to run a business, you do have to put food on the table and things like that, and I know that. 5 to 10. I also have a mentor too, in John Rulon. So he actually says 5 to 15%. I do 5 to 10. And I think the best question as a mentor, he always asks is, what's the most you can do for somebody, as opposed to what's the least? A lot of people are always like, what's the least I can do? And then, and you always say that to people, it's the least I can do. It's like, great. Like, I don't want the least you can do. You know, if I was in an inter- if somebody was interviewing to work for me, and they said, what's the least I can do? I'm like, I don't want the least you can do. I want the most of you.
The least I can do. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And And you're saying, for you, when you say, beyond 10%, there's an issue of, well, you putting food on the table or what have you. But I guess if it's always generating a pretty positive return, have you in your experience felt like there was a risk to maybe doing too much? Like, what is that sort of common sense cutoff?
Yeah, that's where I think, because then what happens is, like, so the way I define gratitude is it's a purposeful unbalancing of a scale towards another person. So like, if you and I were standing across from each other and there was somebody pouring water down on a scale, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to tilt the scale towards you so you get all the benefit of what the water, and you know, your plant grows, essentially. Now, the thing with gratitude is, basically the cool part about gratitude is, people have the, you know, law of reciprocity takes over here, and they want to rebalance the scale. So what will happen is, you'll try to push it back to rebalance it, but most people will overcorrect. And that's where you push the thing way too far in my direction, which is, you know, that's not why you gift. But the thing is, like, when you push it too far on them, and, you know, you dump the whole bucket on them, it almost becomes a little offensive. Like, it's almost, because then you start to send a message of, what is he trying to get from me? Or it becomes a balance at that point. Like, that's why I don't like to go to high as 15%, because then, you know, some people have big incomes, you know, 15%
of a practical matter, the clients like it, also say, I'm paying you too much. Because if you afford this,
then there's that too, right? It's like, you know, so you have some businesses have like a client that might pay them $100,000 a year. You're going to drop 15 grand on this person over the course of the year, and they're going to be like, what's going on here? Like, it's almost like you're trying to buy me, and I don't want, you know, for me, that's just how I am. I don't want to go that much, but it, like you said, Sam, it's more of a, it's a fine line of trying to do a little too much and maybe making it a manipulation.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because we're almost speaking about it as if, hey, we're just using math and we're just kind of doing a hack on how do you get the right balance of not making them uncomfortable with too much and not making them offended with too little. But do you think, in talking about it mechanically, is there really a level where it's actually just authentic? I mean, does it matter? Is there an intention from your side as the gift giver that does matter? Or is it really just trying to hit that mathematical sweet spot? Because I don't want to give the impression from this conversation that, hey, feelings aside, you could hate this person, but as long as you give that 7%, it's the perfect sweet spot. It sounds like there's more to it than that. So could you talk a little bit more about that side of it, the authenticity part of it?
Yeah, so fantastic question, actually. And actually, you can't give a genuine gift that is personal if you don't care. So that's why the caring and the genuineness has to come from your heart, because when you do genuinely care about another person, you do think next level about certain things. You want to get to know them more. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about, like, what's cool about one of the things that we do within Appreciation Advocate is we always say, like, what can we do for this? It's called knowing their juice, you know, get the juice. Because whenever you gossip with somebody, it's always like a juicy conversation. Whenever someone talks, they're constantly spilling, you know, their guts out about something. Like your juice today is that you went on you lived in a camper van for 2 years. You've got two dogs and a cat, and you have a baby on the way. So like that's a bunch of stuff right there that I just got that I could use to give you a gift with. So like knowing people's juice is super important. And if you don't really care about them and you hate the person, you don't care. Like if I didn't like you, I'd be like, yeah, I don't, whatever. Sam's got a kid coming, whatever. Yeah. Like, and you wouldn't have a way to personalize that because you don't really actually care.
Mm-hmm. And just for the audience, Steve squeezed all that juice out of me in just like the minute before we started the podcast. So
yeah, it's a bad habit of mine.
Well, it's a great, and more importantly, yeah, you cared. Remembered yeah. it because you listened, you know, so that's,
yeah.
That's yeah. the first evidence of actually being interested. So.
Yeah. So that's the fun part. So when we talk about the juice itself, so this is what makes it easier for me as the introverted person that doesn't start conversation, who can't really talk, you know, I'm not the conversation driver. What I learned is the person asking the questions is the one who's controlling the conversation. I do like control, but I don't like to talk. But so like what I would do is you're constantly peeling back the onion on someone. Every conversation, every person you talk to is such an adventure because you're trying to find out what makes this person tick, what's going on in their life. Like I was talking to a police officer. I was like, oh, cool. You're like, I was talking to this guy. He's like, I'm a SWAT guy. I said, oh, cool. That's so cool. What's the craziest story you've ever seen? Like, because now he starts talking and then he'll say something like the SWAT guy, he's probably got a crazy bunch of stories. So of course then you can ask more, and then you ask more, and you constantly peel back that onion and you keep finding out more, and it's like the conversation becomes an adventure as opposed to, like, you know, normal how's the weather, you know, boring crap like that, like, you know, useless fluff conversation instead mm-hmm. of that.
And the interesting part of it, it's not a formula though, it's that you actually care. That's what is guiding the conversation. It sounds like the 5 to 10% is directional for people who want to maybe put aside some budget space. But it sounds like what you're saying is if you don't go in with that authentic interest, forget it. The gift giving is not going to matter how much money you have or how little money you have. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Because then it won't come off as genuine, and you won't have the care in your heart to do the next level gifting, because then you won't have the brain power to even remember all the things that you wanted to learn about that person. So yeah, even for me as an introvert who likes to be by myself a lot, I still look at every person as like an adventure. Like every person that I'm, like when I first saw you come on like on the screen, I was like, wonder what's going on in his head. Like, tell me about, I want to hear all about this. And same thing happened with John. And, you know, Mike was hiding behind the camera. So like, I can't, you know, I didn't get to see him, but same thing. I started talking to him right away. I know he's in Toronto and all that fun stuff. So like, it's cool.
Now you say you're an introvert, and we've had people come on the show and talk about their fear of networking. And it's very similar to, you know, anytime we have to cold call anybody or the thought of it. Again, explain how you're an introvert, but you're reaching out to people. Like you make the reach out because you're confident in your interest in them, or like you're still calling them.
Yeah. It's like, what kind of an adventure can I go on today? Like, I want to find out what cool adventure or what cool story John's going to tell me today, or what cool story Sam's going to tell me. Or where are they going? Like, I'm constantly trying to find out what makes someone tick, or like when you get a really piece of The best juice is the juice that people don't think they that is actually juice. It's like when someone shows up with a certain kind of coffee and it's the coffee they drink every day, but I want to know what the heck they're drinking. So, oh, cool. Where'd you get that from? Oh, I got it from the local place called, Volo or whatever it's called. It's like, oh, cool. What are you drinking? Like, what is it? You drink it black or whatever? And I'm going to find out what you're drinking before we leave. That's the end of the story. So like I was asking you, but you know, don't think that, those little details that don't look like juice, like, you know, John, I can't tell if it's pink or not, but you pink shirt's your thing. Like, tell me about this. Why are you wearing pink? Like,
my wife said it was coral, but
so does my dude. I can't keep up with those names, the coral and mauve and all these other weird colors. So yeah, so like that kind of stuff, and then you would open that kind of conversation. Oh yeah, okay, John's married. Tell me about it. Like, how'd you meet your wife? And then, you know, I could go on forever, and it just an adventure that way.
Yeah. So and this seems so smart in some ways, so intuitive, but I'm struck by the sense that it has to be from a pure intellectual curiosity standpoint, because I just want to know and pick your brain, because a lot of people, if you go into this kind of strategy from my perspective and say, I need to get people's juice so I can make more money. Like, something to me seems like that would be a more difficult thing. And I know we're kind of dancing around it, but do you have any thoughts that could help clarify that for an audience who might say, okay, if I'm taking notes from Steve right now, and this is going to help me make more money, but that doesn't seem like that's going to give you the secret sauce.
Yeah. So you can't just, I'm trying to put, like, really nail this down as clearly as I can without, being unclear, I guess. I would say is, I put it down that you do have to care. There's no way around that. Like, if you, all right, here again, better way to put this. Every person that you talk to, like, we all have financial bank accounts, right? We all understand what that is. We also all have emotional bank accounts. So you will get, and obviously whenever you want to make a sale, you want them to pull out their wallet and pay you from their financial bank account. However, here's the best way to do it. You can't get people to make financial withdrawals unless you make emotional deposits into their emotional bank account. So that's the best way to say this. So you can't make emotional deposits into their emotional bank account if you don't give a crap.
Look, have you ever given a very nice gift and nothing came back?
Yeah, all the time. So this is the other part of it. So what'll happen is not every person you gift to is going to be Paul Revere, who goes around and, you know, and instantly unwraps it, takes a picture of it, puts it on Instagram and tags you in it and tells the whole world about it. Not everyone's Paul Revere. But what you can do, what I have determined and learned in my practice of doing this over the last, you know, 6 to 8 years or so, I would say that despite everyone else's behavior being different, if your behavior is consistent, the results will be consistent.
But how did you feel personally toward that person? So I'm trying to, like,
well, so I follow up with them with a call, and I ask them, like, hey, did you get the gift? Sometimes they just genuinely didn't get it. Like, oh no, Steve, nothing showed up in the mail. And it's like, oh, all right, well, I'll follow up with that. I'll find out where that is. And then they call you and say, you know, whatever. And that's sometimes. Other times they call you, you call them, and they're just way too busy. Like, I have a couple of nurses I've sent gifts to, and they're just like, Steve, we've been working like 19 hours a day. So I'm so sorry. But yes, I saw that come in. I wanted to send thank you, and I just totally forgot. It just went on, you know, some people just forget. So I try not to make judgment, to be completely honest, because I know I'm not perfect, and I know I make mistakes all the time. And I know in my heart of hearts, I did it out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't do it to get something. I just wanted to love on that person. And that's all that really makes me happy. I really don't have any control over them and their behavior. So I know that, hey, look, I wanted to love on that person, and I did. And, you know, hope, you know, if they say thank you, great. If not, then, you know, I've done my job. I've paid it forward. I know that that gift will make that person's day. Whether they say thank you or not, it's out of my control.
Perfect. I was trying to re-ask Sam's question about whether or not this was just formulaic. So if it was formulaic, then it would be like, oh, that was a failed investment, you know, and that's the end of the story, as opposed to I still send love and, you know.
No, it's not. So it's not.
That's the flip side of it.
Yeah. That's the flip side of it.
Yeah. And that's where, obviously, we're probing around. I'm probing around, especially because in some ways for us, it's very intuitive that if you want to do better business, you just have to do right by the world and actually care about people, create authentic connection, bolster the people around you, build your community. And for a lot of people, I think if you ask them if they believe in those things, they'd say, well, yeah, that makes sense. And that would normally be considered true. But I do think a lot of people struggle with manifesting that. They struggle with actually executing on it. And I know you're coming on with some techniques to help with that. But before we get into more tactical, because I know you said you had almost six, I'd love to hear your list of six things that make the perfect gift. But why do you think business owners or folks in general struggle with this idea that if I give more, I would generally expect more? I would, if I have more better connection, my business should thrive. Why do you think people don't execute on that, or you don't see it in their behavior?
I would say it's probably one, they're doing it wrong because nobody teaches how to gift. Like, there's no school for that when we're growing up. So they're giving gift cards and they're wondering why they're not getting ROI from that, because gift cards suck. So like, there's that. And then they're also, what we're doing is we're playing relationships. Relationships are the long game. And not a lot of people like to do the long game. Like, this is like, you'll start seeing results in a year. Like, there was, when I was telling you, I did the 10-5 and got the 166. Like, that wasn't my first year doing it. That was like my fourth. So like, that, those will, when you will see results most likely in your first year, but you're not, you might not see 16X. You might see 4 or 3, or maybe you break even, whatever. The point is, like, it's a long game. You're playing the long game. You're playing, like John Rulon always says, you're playing decades, not days. And so when you play it like that, then you're here to stay. When you're just trying to make a quick buck, it's going to come off like you're just trying to make a quick buck, and your sales are going to hurt from it, and your overall performance will hurt from it.
Yeah. Well, and the line I'm trying to be really careful about stepping on is, from what you're saying, you're not even playing a game. And that's the point. You're not playing a long game. You're just caring about the people in your network, and that naturally the universe yields returns for that.
Yes.
It may not yield it on your schedule. Like you said, if you're not interested in caring about people authentically, just for the sake of it, you're not going to see returns in the short term, but it's not a game at all. It's just a matter of, I guess, principle.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. I don't really have much to add to that. It's exactly right. So I think it's just, I don't know what you, some people call it the universe, some people call it karma, whatever you want to call it, it is what it is. There's just the law of sowing and reaping, for, you know, in a nutshell for you.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I wanted, because I think people are not internalizing that. And that's sort of the consciousness or the mindful aspect that I think is missing, because they could hear someone like you talk and get really jazzed up about, well, if I give gifts in a certain way, or I get better at gift giving, I'm going to get return. But it's not really about the return. It's about just doing the thing, because the thing you're doing now is making a relationship in the present moment. People with better relationships tend to have better things happen to them. And I think that's what you need to internalize first to even approach a strategy like the one you're recommending.
Well, yeah. And that, when I was teaching real estate agents, like when I was planning more of like a coach, like mentor role for a while. And I used to tell people, like, look, at some point we're all going to retire, and what your business is worth is going to, like, are you going to sell your business? It's your database is what you're going to sell. So this would apply for doctors, lawyers, accountants, insurance people. If your database is worth nothing, then your business is worth nothing. So you've got to make sure you nurture those relationships and make them feel special. One, because, you know, you want to, but it's your job. It's your job to build a relationship.
Mm-hmm. There's an element here, though, even if it was somewhat formulaic or just tactical, if what it did is it got more people to give and engage with people on a more human level, you know, maybe through that things would, you know, would increase overall connection in a more positive vein, as opposed to other sales techniques and the like.
Well, yeah. The other thing is, and this whole gifting thing, it's actually fun. It's lead generation. That's actually fun. Like, you will have a great time doing this. Like, and I know a lot of people say, I don't have time for it. Again, that's literally why I built my company. Cause when I was in real estate, like, people kept coming to me like, Steve, what are you doing? You're like, you're doing 73% of your business by referral. What's going on? And they were just like, I just don't have time. I just don't have time. I just don't have time. I'm like, well, there's a market there. And that's how I started my company. But like, it's so much fun to do it that way. It's as opposed to like calling someone and saying, are you looking to buy a house? Do you need insurance? Do you need a good accountant? It's tax season. You know, that, like, that's such a boring and slimy way to prospect versus, like, you know, following up on a gift.
I think some people are afraid to start though, because like they're scared to engage like that. What if somebody doesn't want a gift from me, or, you know, I get it incorrect in terms of personal or something like that? Have you ever had someone who felt it was too forward, or that it was a problem that you gave a personal gift?
I have not. The only reason is because I do a lot of research before I do things, and I'm like one of those research types. I really don't want to screw things up. However, I'm also one of those people who is not going to sit around and overanalyze something. So I will eventually do it. But what I'll do is like, I like to think like 3 or 4 steps ahead. So like, if I give somebody alcohol, what are some of the potentially bad things that could happen? Like, and so I think that through, and I'll be like, okay, what could I, it sounds a good gift. It's a high-end alcohol. That's really cool. He, you know, whatever. Do I know this person drinks at all? Do I know this person doesn't have an alcoholic parent? Do I know, like, you know, do I, you know, you got to think these things through. Like when you, again, quote John Ruhlin again, he always says, it's not the thought that counts. It's the thoughtful thought that counts. And it's like, and I think that's such a great quote for him. Cause like, you really do have to think it through. Like if you just, you know, you give people, you know, if you give a chef kitchen knives, he probably already has the best, you know, knives on the market. So Cutco might not be the best thing for him. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, what it depends on whoever the person is. But yeah, if you think it through like 3 or 4 levels and kind of try to, you almost try to create the worst case scenario. And if you can't come up with them, then you probably have a good gift. But if you can create like several worst case scenarios, then it's not, don't use that one.
Yeah. Well, now we're teasing it. If you wouldn't mind just regaling us with the strategy that you would share that makes a perfect gift. Cause I'm self-admittedly pretty bad at gift giving. I feel it gives me a lot of anxiety, because I think part of it is you have to get very intimate with somebody and you feel like it's a very high likelihood they already have everything they need, especially in this day and age when everyone has everything they have at their fingertips. So, I mean, I would love to hear, if you wouldn't mind, how do you make a good gift in this generation?
For sure. And actually, one other thing, before I go into that, even think about this, that when everybody does have everything at their fingertips, but think about this, like when something solid, like tangible shows up at their door, and it's not off the internet, it's not on a screen, and it's like a present in the middle of like April, like how much of a cool thing, and it's not their birthday, like how much of a cool impact you think that makes, that impression versus, a thank you email. So, but yeah, to go into these 6 things that I have, what we do is, the first thing is focus. The focus has to be on the recipient. It can't be on the giver, because if it's about the giver, like we were saying before, if it's about the giver, it's a promotion. If it's about the recipient, it's an actual gift. Then they have to give. The second thing is, it's got to be high quality. So, you know, cheap gifts get tossed and forgotten, you know, and the other thing is, the reason I say high quality is because a gift is a symbol of what the relationship is actually, what it means to you. So when you do give a gift card or an e-card or something low quality like that, you're basically telling them that this is how I value the relationship, that you're too much time for me to go actually get a good gift, versus doing a high quality item. It's like, wow, you took the time to do this. Like, I really do mean a lot to you. That's really nice. That's good to know. So focus, high quality. Third thing is personalized, meaning like it's unique to the recipient. It doesn't have to be engraved necessarily, but I do highly recommend it if you can do it. But it just basically shows that you do those, that you notice those little things, and that those detail, the devil is in the details. That's 1000% true. The fourth thing is deep emotional impact. So the great gifts always tug on the heartstrings. So like, human beings make choices emotionally, then they justify them logically. That's pretty much standard knowledge in the sales world. And if you can give a gift that ties to a recipient's emotional drivers, then you're way ahead of the game. So that's the fourth thing. The fifth thing is that it has to have staying power. So this kind of goes hand in hand with high quality, so that it has to last. Like, nice things don't get tossed and forgotten. In addition to that, useful things, they get used, and they're like significant items. They're kept, they're made visible, and they're seen often. So instead of being in the subconscious mind, you're in the top of mind, and that's where you want to be. That's what's going to make the most sales. So that's the fifth thing. And then the last thing is, just, let's not forget the basics here, to build an actual connection. So put a personal note on it, put a handwritten, not a machine written if you can, but try to do handwritten. Unless you're doing like super high volume or whatever, like 20 million personal notes or whatever, that's a lot. But if you can do handwritten, I would do handwritten, and or maybe like some kind of video, like a video text message or a video that comes with a gift or that they can put in their computer and watch, what, I don't know, whatever you can come up with that makes it like a personal next level connection. That's what I would do. Those are my six things.
And no food.
Oh, I actually have a bad, I have a bad gift list. You want me to go through that?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Because that's on there.
Yeah. Well, no, you said it has staying power. So,
yeah, well, food only makes one impression. Like, right. I would tell you, even taking someone to the Super Bowl is a bad gift. And the reason I say that is, yeah, because it's, it makes one impression. And what you're doing is, you know, you're like in internet marketing, we pay for impressions. Like, it's like, how many impressions do I get with $200? So like, when you take someone out to dinner and them and their wife, it's like a $200 bill. That's one impression. That's food. Or like real estate, the stereotypical real estate gift is, here's a bottle of champagne at settlement. That's a $20 impression. You take someone to the Super Bowl, that is a $6,000 impression, one impression. After 2 weeks, though, I mean, they're going to just, it's, that's it. You're not top of mind after 2 weeks, even if it was the Super Bowl. So that's why I don't, events and experiences are off the list for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're no good too.
Flowers. So the majority of what people think of these one-time gifts are all on the bad list, it sounds like.
Yeah, basically anything that only has one impression and doesn't last is on my no-no list.
Yeah.
And swag too. Even swag is like SWAG, stands for stuff
we all get.
Yeah. So a different S word, but I'm trying to be PG. stuff we all get.
Stuff we all get and throw in the trash.
And I mean, if it's stuff we all get, I mean, how much value is that? Mm-hmm. Oh, we all got one.
But if somebody's starting, you know, just trying to get into this this idea, they haven't even really broached it, and maybe in an industry where it's not as common, so they wouldn't have thought of it. Would you still say it's better just to do something than nothing and start this process? Or is the research and know before you do, does that outweigh the just getting going?
I would tell you, if no one else in your industry is doing it, then you have an open ocean of opportunity here that you now can do something that no one else is doing. That's what I would do. And you don't have to go crazy. I mean, like, you can make massive impacts for less than $20. I mean, you don't have to be Mr. Moneybags to do this. Like, I had one time a woman, her dog passed away. And I was like, oh man, I'm like really sorry. And I love dogs. So like whenever someone tells, and I just lost my favorite dog this in 2022. So I know exactly how that felt. And it really sucks. I know it sucks. So I knew I could totally relate to what this woman was doing. I was like going through and I was like, all right. I said, you have actually she's a friend of my wife's. So I knew I could just go on Facebook, found a picture of her with the dog. And I had a watercolor painting of it made. And I sent it to her. Like, hey, just so you know, even though he's not here, you can still remember him. And she was like, this is the coolest thing ever. That gift didn't cost all that, but you could still, it's still, I mean, the impact is going to be lasting and it's a massive positive impact. So it's not going to be, again, it's not Mr. Moneybags. It's just one impression that lasts. Every time she walks by the pictures, she's going to think of me, consciously or unconsciously. We have another thing we do called attacking the kitchen, which a lot of the gifts we do are catered towards the kitchen because that's where people spend their time. So if like, we have this cool thing called it's called a cork pop. So people, it's like almost like a show whenever someone opens a bottle of wine. So they basically, you push down the CO2 on it and it pops the cork out in like a quarter of a second, as opposed to like doing this corkscrew thing. So people are like, people love that. And I had this one woman, she told me, she's like, Steve, every time I have a bottle of wine with my friends over, I cannot wait to show them this gift. And I talk about you every time. Like, eventually some of them are going to buy houses, so I want to make sure they call you. I'm like, cool, great, fantastic.
Yeah. So it's I was just gonna say it's fascinating because I feel like you make it sound so approachable that anyone could do this. But I think for you to have a simple conversation with somebody and identify something that you can insert into their personal process that they would use on a recurring basis and really integrate into their life, I feel like that to me seems very challenging. Is this something that you feel that people can learn how to get the juice and kind of make those interpretations into a gift? Is something anyone can do pretty easily through practice? Or what's your experience with coaching new people up on this? Because to me, it's very intimidating just from my experience, or maybe I'm just particularly challenged in this area.
I mean, I'm just out of curiosity, what are you afraid of?
That's a great question. I think I'm afraid of putting in effort because money is usually not an issue, like you mentioned, and just the gift being a waste. Either I've created physical waste, or I've given them something that just doesn't match their personal process because they don't have enough intimacy with that person, even for people I feel like I know fairly well.
Okay. So, all right. So what I would tell you is obviously think three or four levels deep, like we were talking about earlier. But whenever you do talk to people, like when I first met a client for the first time, when I was doing real estate, I would show up with my phone in my hand, but I you know, obviously wouldn't look at it, but I have every smartphone has a notepad app. So when they say stuff, write it down. You don't have to remember it, but and this goes even when you're hanging out with, like, you could just do this for your best friends so you don't forget stuff. And just so you know, I have forgotten stuff. I'm not perfect. Like I went up to, it happened literally like yesterday. I went to a woman and she was a past client of mine, and I saw her. I was like, hey, I'm picking up my kid at daycare, and I totally forgot she was pregnant. she was like, because she told me back in August that she was pregnant, and I'm like, oh my God, you're pregnant? She's like, yeah. She's like, oh my God, it's no problem at all. Like, I totally forgot that she was pregnant. So, like, you know, I make mistakes too. Like, I'm not, just because I'm a gifting expert doesn't mean I don't make a mistake every once in a while. But like, for what you're trying to do is you got to just like take notes, and you do have to, I would say you do have to actively practice it a little bit. Like, maybe there, it is definitely one of my gifts because it comes so natural to me. I never even thought that it would be intimidating to ever listen to somebody. So like for what I would do is now I'm going to have to do this, is to look up some active listening skills, like a way to practice active listening. Because when you can do that, that's what's going to make you, that's what's going to take you next level. And in sales, it was always the person who was talking the most was usually the one who was not making the sale. The person who was listening the most was the one making the sale.
Yeah.
I was trying to get to some of that question before of people who are afraid that the intimacy won't be reciprocated. So, or well-received or appreciated or almost rejected. So, you know, that's what I was asking.
How many times have you given a gift that someone shows back in your face?
No, I'm comfortable.
No, I know. I'm saying, but that's a question you should ask yourself. Yeah, that's a question you should ask yourself. It's like, how many times have you had a gift thrown back in your face? Me, never.
But to your point about gift cards, it's rare that someone's going to say, this was terrible. I'm outraged that you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So with that, that's where I would say, like, you have to really focus on who they are. And again, go through the active listening part of this, not knowing who they are. So, and you can't be at what we, God.
No. I mean, but your joy in learning about people, you know, maybe it's a skill at this point, but like the fact that it's an adventure for you, that's the end of the transaction. So whatever happens after that, like you're not spending your time worrying about what's going to happen once you start engaging. Like, yeah, you're enjoying it. So
yeah, I wasn't always like that though. I was not always like that. When I first started my real estate career, I could not wait to get out of the house. Like when I was doing a showing, I was like, oh my God, will you just shut up so we can leave? I don't want to be here anymore. Like that, guys, I'm not even kidding you. Like, I was not always like this. This is a learned skill. Like this is something you can. So another thing that I've learned, like another learned skill is that, and we actually did this where we put, you put a shock collar on your friend. Like a dog collar, and every time they cross their arms or cross their legs in conversation, you shock them. So what I've actually learned is that you can now. You'll never see me go like this. You'll never see me cross my arms. You'll never see me cross my legs whenever I talk. I'm always open and like engaged, because that's a learned skill. I had to remember to do that. And when you are conscious of what your own body language is, you will be once you learn yourself, you'll be able to watch other body language as well, because people speak with their eyes, not their mouth. They listen with their eyes, not their ears. Totally screwed that up. If you can listen with your eyes and not your ears, then you'll be able to close a lot more business and learn a lot more about people. Like I've had so many clients where I was talking with them in houses, and like they'll start crossing their legs up and shoulders will go down and things like that. And all that body language just tells you so much.
And you had mentioned a bit offhandedly that you have a business now that helps people with gifting or supports them or consults or enables. Could you tell them what does that service look like? Or please feel free to talk a little bit more about that business that you're in now.
Yeah. So when I was in real estate, like the the most, like I was saying earlier, the most common thing people were saying was, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. So that's what I built a company that does it for them. That's basically what we do. So like, you'll send me a gift of your, or a list of your top 25 people. And I'll tell you, okay, great. Tell me a little bit about each one of them. And then we'll put together a formal plan for you. And I'll say, hey, here's all the gift options that we think are best for this group of 25 people. With your approval, we'll get right to it. And we do it quarterly. So we make sure, depending on their budget, like every business owner is different. The reason we built it was, one, because we wanted to give small business owners their time back and be able to nurture their past relationships and their best relationships. But also, these gifting companies were costing like $10,000 to $20,000, $25,000 just for consulting. And it wasn't, it was before even a client even bought a gift. So I was, my goal was to try to unlock that for small business owners. I wanted them to be able to not have to spend $10,000 plus $5,000 plus for good gifting. I wanted them to be able to access that for like a fraction of the cost of a part-time assistant, basically.
Some of it include the coaching?
I actually don't do any coaching. It comes with the, it's, I don't like coach small business owners, but like I do, I guess, consulting. Like when you call me up, it's like, I had a guy call me up and say like, hey Steve, I do a retreat twice a year. I'm taking my top 12 people to each retreat. And then what do you think's best? And then we'll go through the list of what we think, you know, for the before the event gift, the after the event gift, and then we'll do the next one 6 months later. So like, that's, I guess that's consulting, but I'm not like, you know, pay me a fee and I'll coach your business. Like that's not what I, you know, I don't do that.
I meant more like in how to get a personal gift. They still have to do the, it, and they have to get the information for you on
the people. So. Yeah. I mean, in that respect, yeah. Like, so what we do is we call it systemized relationship marketing, and then, or SRM, and we'll send you your SRM workbook when you sign up as a client, and then you'll fill it out. But your job is to fill it out, and it gives you reasons to call your best people and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm doing some extra appreciation for my favorite people, and you're one of them. So I had a few questions for you, if you don't mind, give me a bit of your time. I've got to get a couple things that you'll be getting some cool surprises later this year as a thank you for being one of my favorite people who have used me as a business. And that's an easy phone call to make. And they're like, what's your favorite color? Blah, blah, blah. And you go through the whole list.
Well, I think that's great. And I think you make it look easy. It almost makes me feel like now I can hop into it and do it better. I also feel like if I need a detective, I'd probably hire you because you give me the impression that would also be a good cop.
I've probably thought about that.
I feel like I could put you on that, and you could probably crack cases too pretty easily with this incredible skill set you've cultivated.
Thank you.
So if anyone wants to work with you directly, who's listening now, would it just be to reach out on your website? How do you get new clients in this space?
I tell a lot of people just to email me directly, and then we'll set up a time to talk, and you kind of tell me a little bit more about what you're trying to do, what your budget is, who your favorite people are, how big your database is, what kind of business you have. So the best thing to do is just send me an email directly, right to steve@appreciationadvocate.com, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Is it only for in the business space?
No. So actually, I'm working on a product right now, which is a really cool product. It's called Just for Moms, because there's a lot of mompreneurs out there who it's only for the holiday season. So like normally, like I was telling you before, we don't gift, and like you would think as a gifting company, we do a ton of business in December, which we actually take the month of December off. We don't do it, like, because that's when everybody gives gifts. So we'll never stand out if we're doing gifts then. So, but what I do know is that in most homes in the United States, that the woman is the one who basically takes care of all the gifting. And at least that is in my house, and basically every other guy I know who's married is like, the woman basically goes to all the family members, buys all the gifts for every person, and does all that stuff. So my thing was basically just to be kind of like mom's assistant. Like, hey, you're a mompreneur, you've got a business to run, you got a family to take care of. Just send us your Christmas list and we'll take care of it for you. Like, that's one of the things I'm working on right now.
Awesome.
So yes, yeah. That's just for mom. It's in the works. My goal is to have it up and running before December this year, but, got some time.
I'll definitely be signing up
for sure.
Yeah, you could get your wife a gift card for Just for Moms. Kidding, it's gift card, not allowed.
Don't get
gotta get her something nice.
You got it. No gift card.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Steve, it's been an incredible conversation. Thanks for coming on and sharing, you know, openly your insight and your expertise. I, for one, I feel like I've taken a lot away. Would you have anything you want to leave our audience with? Any closing thoughts around any of the topics we discussed today?
I think the best quote, I think, well, I'll leave you with two quotes. The first quote is, if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. So that's as far as small business owners go. So level up. And if you're not changing it, you're choosing it. Then the second thing would be, I guess, if your values are clear, your decisions are easy. So try to get those clear and then make things very, very clear and easy to make your whole life more simple and make you happier that way. So that's what I would leave you with.
Awesome.
Those are excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And for those of you listening, thanks for tuning in again to Business Therapy. Steve left some great information how you can connect with him if you're interested to learn more about his product or some of the awesome insight he has. Otherwise, we'd love to hear any questions or comments. And other than that, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.